Hello there. Well, the weather may have turned, so it's a very warm welcome to the official EFL podcast. Cardiff City are in the playoff hunt led by Errol Bullitt. I'm delighted to say the Bluebirds boss joins us this week.
I'm really happy that I'm here. Great city, great city, great fans, great people, what I met till now.
Sky Sports' Gary Weaver has been out and about on his commentating travels. He gives us the EFL inside track, and Richie Welland takes the ultimate footballing test, the 72 in 72. Welcome. It's the official EFL podcast. Okay, then. The weather outside may be frightful. I've gone a bit early with that song. But I've got someone here to keep us very toasty. Indeed, he's already shaking his head 20 seconds into the podcast. Gary Weaver, how are you?
I'm all right, Prutz. I saw Kieran McKenna say the other night that 3 hours with you felt like 5 hours. So we're 30 seconds in and already I need some lunch. How are you, my mate? Are you okay?
I'm good. I felt mortally wounded. It was a pleasure to talk to Kieran. He's doing such a wonderful job at Ipswich Town, and to speak to him after the game, after they were very, very impressive working at home against Millwall, was a pleasure. Right. Speaking of the Championship, let's get cracking with that. Some stellar performances, some great results over the past few nights. As we saw, West Brom beating Cardiff. We're going to get the thoughts of Errol Bullitt, the Cardiff City boss, in just a bit on the podcast. A big win for Hull City against Rotherham. Borough putting four past Preston. QPR beating Stoke. Watford Norwich, that was your game. We're going to come on to that in just a second. Blackburn beating Birmingham 4-2. Leeds United did concede after a minute. They went on to win 3-1 against Swansea City. A big, big result at the bottom and at the top. Sheffield Wednesday 1, Leicester City 1. Southampton beating Bristol City. A big win for Huddersfield Town. And as I said, Ipswich beating Millwall, which then does mean that at the very top end of the Championship, Leicester City top, but only by a point. Ipswich Town cracking on with their wonderful work. And the top six being made up of Leeds, Southampton, West Brom and Hull City. Right, the game that you were doing so wonderfully, wonderfully well, of Watford and Norwich City. Two teams, I think, Gary, that we haven't mentioned that much over the course of the season. Is that because we're looking at two teams, to be brutally honest, underperforming?
I think, I think a number of things puts with it. Obviously, the teams that came down from the Premier League, they've taken the headlines. Ipswich, as you've mentioned. Watford and Norwich, a bit like West Brom as well, in terms of going on the radar a little bit. Obviously, Albion are doing it better than Watford and Norwich are at the moment. But I suppose they've been seen as two fading forces while we've got the new rising powers in the Championship. But it was a cracking game the other night. Obviously, Norwich went 2-0 and then Watford came back and won 3-2. Watford, when they pass the ball around and they knock it around, they got some brilliant, talented players. Yasser Asprilla, the way he finished that winner off, with his clever feet. It's funny because at the time we thought the referee had ruled it out because he's pointing to his hand because Norwich are claiming handball, but he's actually pointing to his wrist saying the shot's over the line. So if you actually listen to it, me and Don look at each other, Don Goodman, is it not being given? The crowd stops celebrating and then they go again.
Almost VAR-like. That's
it was like a Premier League game.
No, we don't want it, we don't want it.
It was a little bit like that, but... you look at Norwich. I spoke to Ben Napper, the sporting director, who's just come in. I spoke to
him
on the phone.
Stuart Webber, hasn't he?
Yeah, replaced Stuart Webber, who I think Stuart Webber now thinks it's easier to climb Mount Everest than it is to talk to me, which is why he's heading off.
Easier than getting out of the Championship, he's got to go and climb Everest.
Yeah, but Ben Napper came in, really good to talk to. He was loans manager at Arsenal, amongst other jobs. I did say to him, look, a lot of the noise as you were coming in and the appointment was accelerated by a couple of weeks was that you might be pulling the plug on David Wagner and his reign. He said to me, look, I would never, ever do that on the outside. Mm-hmm. I've got to get inside the club, got to get context, see how the players react to David Wagner, see what's going on the inside before I make any kind of decision, because that is the biggest decision you make as a sporting director. But obviously Norwich had back-to-back wins, then they crumbled against Watford. And lost 3-2. And they've got an AGM this week as well. So the joint majority shareholder, Mark Attanasio, is over from America. He was there the other night. So we wait to see how that goes. But Norwich with work to do.
Watford with Valerian Ismail, a team, of course, that has lost key players. I think sometimes we forget that when we're discussing Watford and a team that's just been in the Premier League, well, relatively recently in the Premier League. But Have they got a man that's instilling the type of culture, the discipline, possibly, to get that place into shape?
You don't mess with Valerian Ismail, do you? That's the thing, Prutz. Discipline. Again, I spoke to him. You know, very lucky to speak to these people. And I asked him about what he found when he went in. He felt there was a bit of a lazy attitude. You know, on day one of pre-season, which he brought forward, by the way, because he wanted 7 weeks with the players, five players were late on the first day of pre-season. Yeah. So they all signed up to these rules where they wouldn't be late. So what Valerian Ismail will say, look, I accept traffic situation. It's nothing like that. But just say you're in the building and you're still late for a team meeting 2 hours later. That's not acceptable. So since then, I think I'm right in saying four players have been late since the start of the season. And if you're in the starting 11 and you're late, you're on the bench. If you're on the bench and you're late during the week, you're out the squad. Wow. And all the players have signed up to that. So that's one of the things he's instilled. And I think Ryan Porteous was one of those that was quite vocal in saying, look, there needs to be a bit more discipline here. So he has changed that, Valerian Ismail. And also, you know, he wants to be more possession-based. I know he's got this reputation, Prutz, because we saw him at Barnsley and West Bromwich Albion being up and at them direct. But when he was in Austria, his teams were possession-based.
Was he playing with... literally using the teams that he had, because with the greatest respect, Barnsley weren't going to pop the way to the playoff.
That's why
final,
he did it.
Yeah.
No, that's why he did it. Launch it forward. You remember we used to see the defence sprinting up to the halfway line when the ball was launched forward. Yeah. Albion similar, but he goes and assesses players' strengths and he'll play the way that he thinks can get the best out of the team. And Watford's players want to dominate possession. So like I say, it was the same at Besiktas. You know, there was a big meeting after the Sunderland defeat when things weren't going well. He locked the players in for an hour in the dressing room. Every single player had their say. Every single member of staff had their say. It was a discussion. And they all committed again to what they said after the game. And apart from that Leicester game, they haven't looked back since.
Well, we'll keep a keen eye on those two, of course. It always makes me laugh when, having been inside the bubble and come out of it, where there's a real kind of shock to professional people being told to be at work on time. and every other walk of life is scratching the head going, that's just going to work.
You're supposed to be there.
Exactly. You can bowl in whenever you want. Reminds me of playing with Niall Ranger at Sheffield Wednesday very briefly. And right. I think three times out of the 5 days of a week would be late. We'd rock up. I mean, we started training at 10:30, so it's not crack of dawn stuff. Yeah. And we'd turn up at 11 and Dave Jones, yes, you're right, Niall, it's us that's got it all wrong. It's you at the right time.
Really?
Yeah, and he just shrugged his shoulder. He scored a lot of goals, so that's probably why he got away with it.
Yeah, you couldn't get away with it.
No, yeah, exactly. I was there at dawn. Play me, Gaffer, please. Speaking of management, well-run football clubs on the pitch, there may be a slight kind of bump in the road or several bumps in the road when we look at West Brom. Undoubtedly, a wonderful recent run of form. Even defeat to Southampton was done in an honourable way and a bit of a hard luck story for the Baggies. Wonderful against Ipswich. Another win last night. A big game at the weekend against Leicester. Sitting very nicely in the playoff places. On the pitch, this looks really rosy, Gary. Without being a cynic, is there anything potentially that might upset this apple cart?
Well, I guess, first of all, Carlos Corberan, again, comes up with these game plans that nullify opponents and makes full use of what he's got as an Albion head coach. 13-hour days, him and his coaching staff in the training ground, you know, just making sure that they analyse absolutely everything. Obviously, off the pitch, it's the first time in over two decades they've had no Premier League money at all, whether it's parachute payments or money from being actually in the Premier League. So obviously, that is playing a part. They are in talks with interested parties over a takeover because they do need new investment. They need a takeover to happen. We know that they've secured another bridging loan. And I think that the worry is in January, isn't it? Where, you know, if a club comes calling for an Albion player, Albion won't be held to ransom, by the way. You know, but if the deal is right for Albion, then, you know, you could see one or two players maybe move on if the deal's right for West Bromwich Albion. So that's the big cloud on the horizon potentially. But Carlos Corberan, he's fairly comfortable with what's going on. He knew that when he took the job, that, you know, potentially this could be an issue. But obviously, the closer they get to the Premier League, the more attractive they become as well. So they'll be hoping that a takeover takes place and then Carlos can can carry on doing what he's doing, which is a phenomenal job. He's just obsessed with football, isn't he, Prutz? He's
methodical. It's like that when you speak, because I know you speak to him a lot in and around the games. There's no shying away from his process. He'll explain to exactly what he wants, won't he?
He's just brilliant. Yeah, you ask him a question and he'll tell you the answer. He's actually, I spoke to him before that Ipswich game last week, and he actually said to me, players now, these days, they want to know everything. They want to know why they're playing out from the back. They want to know why this is happening. And you know, it's explained to them by Carlos Corberan, and he loves that. I mean, I always think the matches get in the way of training for Carlos Corberan sometimes. But he's so obsessed with football. During his time off, during the international break from football, he watched football. He was studying tapes of Girona and Spurs just to see what he could learn, and sent his coaching staff away with tapes to go and watch games as well. He just loves the game.
But the great thing you tell me about Carlos being a former goalkeeper is that playing out from the back would have absolutely terrified him, wouldn't it?
Well, he's a former keeper. I said to him last week, because he was saying about playing out from the back, I said, would you have done that when you were a keeper? He said, Gary, put it this way, I'm glad I stopped when I did. He didn't fancy himself playing out from the back.
To be fair, I do see that a lot, thinking about particularly my generation of journeyman midfielder going, I'm not getting it there with my back to play. You've got that. All you're going to see for the next 20 minutes is my number and name running away from you.
That's it.
Which is probably why goalkeepers hated me. A bit further down the league, we saw Millwall in action. Joe Edwards, very scathing with what he saw from his side against Ipswich. There's a real job on there, but I think a real sense of who he's worked with, elite level players, what he wants from a fundamental side. So I'm intrigued to see how that evolves. Big win, as I said, for Huddersfield Town. The bottom three being QPR, Rotherham and Sheffield Wednesday. League One, Bolton Wanderers. Again, apologies, Trotters fan. I mean, for some reason, it's remiss of me to say that possibly we've not been talking about it that many times this season. But a team that's top of the league and putting seven past opponents is absolutely worth the chat, Gary. Yes.
Yeah, obviously, Bolton have been through an absolutely turbulent, terrible time. In the last few years, it's been horrible to see, really, Prutz, hasn't it, in terms of what's happened to them. But Ian Evatt, we know he likes to play football out from the back and play his way. They stayed on the shoulder of Portsmouth because we've spoken a lot about Portsmouth, rightly so, after what they've been doing, and Oxford. But Bolton stayed in the fight and then suddenly hit top spot with that, as you say, seven against Exeter, a draw against Oxford. They're keeping clean sheets. And Ian Evatt, he tells his players, I want you to make history. I think they've kept seven clean sheets now in a row, which is a joint club record going back to 1900, Prutz, which is when you played your first game, wasn't it? But,
it's when I bought this top.
My hairdo's from there as well. But so he encourages his players to break records. He says he's never known a togetherness like there is at Bolton in that dressing room right now. And of course, all that plays its part. It's a really, really good top of the table battle developing at League One. I think, they have Bolton got Portsmouth coming up in a couple of weeks.
I mean, that's a game to keep an eye on, of course. And when we talked about Portsmouth across the season, about how well they've done in league terms, being unbeaten, and of course that came to a careering halt against the Blackpool side that we spoke about the other week. Just doing some very good work in Des Buckingham, of course, going into Oxford. They currently sit third. Stevenage just behind them. And knowing Steve Evans like we do, I know he likes us talking about them in the most glorious of terms. But once again, another cracking season so far. They've played 20 games. They currently sit fourth, 3 points behind Bolton and Portsmouth. It's hard to come away from the possibility of his side being absolutely here, up and around it, come the end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, and if they get into the Championship, you know, that would be incredible. For Stevenage and Steve Evans. He says he's not getting carried away. He's calmed down a bit, hasn't he, Steve, apparently, over the last few years. He's a huge personality, and wherever he goes, he lifts dressing rooms. He makes, at times, a siege mentality, us against the world. And obviously, they got the draw against Peterborough at the weekend, and they were two up, actually, in that game, Stevenage. He lives in Peterborough, doesn't he, Steve? So he says when I retire, I'm going to go and watch Peterborough. But he wouldn't have been happy watching them in the second half.
Just behind the dugout. Just three rows behind the dugout.
Big manager's coat up. But no, to do what they're doing, and again, stay in the fight. You know, you look at the big names that are in League One, and Stevenage are there and thereabouts, is incredible. But he's not getting carried away. He knows that, obviously, we know there's a long, long way to go. But to be up there right now, standing amongst giants, is incredible.
Let's just drop down to 18th. Cambridge currently occupy that spot. Mark Bonner's moved on. And having spoken to Mark, I've done a bit of work with Mark. Again, I know we're relentlessly positive on the EFL podcast, but he is a man more than worthy of several moments of your time. Synonymous with Cambridge United. Done pretty much everything there from what you hear with regards to roles that he's occupied. He's been moved on. They had a very bright start to the season. At one stage, we were discussing Oxford and Cambridge at the very top of League One. Was this, given where they are, Gary, I hate to use the word, a sense of inevitability, but a team that hasn't been doing... Yeah, but I'm going to use it. Yeah, a team that hasn't been doing well and now look for a new manager.
Yeah, I think... Look, you mentioned Mark's background with the club there. It's always a shame that it ends this way, isn't it? And I think there was a sense of inevitability maybe that it was the end of the line because it wasn't just results, but I think it was performances as well. And that's the problem. When the two go hand in hand and they're not going well, that's when you got a problem. I'd imagine there was a lot of soul searching and heavy hearts at Cambridge in terms of making that decision because of what Mark's done, taking them back to the third tier. You know, that incredible FA Cup win against Newcastle, you know, he's given Cambridge fans some amazing times, and it is a shame that it ends this way. Obviously, they survived last season. They don't want to be in that battle again. But again, that's a big ask, you know, to stay clear of trouble in League One. We mentioned the big clubs that are in there. But yeah, it's probably a sense of inevitability. I mean, one thing's for sure, they'll never forget Mark Bonner at Cambridge for what he's done. No. And it's a shame it's ended that way, but I suppose that's football. It does tend to end this way, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Shout out to Reading. 5-1 against Carlisle. Again, another team where there's so much to the narrative away from the football pitch that to be able to get out onto the pitch and give the fans something to cheer about, I think, is a wonderful thing. Something else to cheer about, Barnsley Wickham. Mad goals.
What? What happened there? I mean, Max Strike is obviously toying with Sam Cosgrove, isn't he? And Sam has just gone, all right then. I'll take up the invitation and score the goal. And obviously, Wickham felt it should have been a free kick. Sam Cosgrove said it's goal of the month.
But of course.
He was desperate for that first goal. But I mean, it was a bizarre thing to happen, Prutz, wasn't it? I don't know if you ever seen anything like that when you played, but a bizarre thing to happen.
Very bizarre. But keeps us all intrigued and interested, doesn't it? Dipping into League Two now, I was inundated with requests from inside the Prussian household. Wrexham are in town. They're playing Harrogate Town. Harrogate Town being my local club. And Facebook suddenly ablaze. Not that I'm way too cool, obviously, for Facebook. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter instead. And MySpace. I think you've still got one of those pages. With apparently Ryan Reynolds was coming to Harrogate Town. And so I
were you mistaken
this.
For him?
A really rubbish, like a really low-key pound shop version. So it's all ablaze with he's in the vicinity. I mean, when I sat down and tried to explain to my 12-year-old, thinking, well, he's at Wrexham a lot because he owns a club. Yeah. I presume he works a lot kind of around London. So why he'd come up to Harrogate for a singular game? It's a beautiful part of the world, don't
happiest
get me wrong.
Happiest place to live in the UK, isn't it?
But I did kind of think, I wonder what was going on. But suffice to say, we got there and there was a huge... broad demographic of women of a certain age, gutted that he wasn't there and then having to sit to watch football.
So he wasn't there in the end. He wasn't there in the end.
He wasn't there in the end.
What a game you have to watch, by the way.
Fantastic game. And it's a bizarre thing because we get to, our job is wonderful. We get to speak to footballers, see footballers, get up close. But I was still kind of sat there pointing out to my daughter, it's Paul Mullin there. I'm thinking, what are we doing?
He's got a stand name after him.
I've worked with him. I've covered his game. But because he was there in the flesh.
Yeah.
Ollie Palmer's bigger in real life, isn't he?
And what about your local boys? What about your local boys, Harrogate? I mean, they could have won it, couldn't they, second half?
They could. It was backs to the wall for the first half an hour. There's a wonderful, it was Evans, I think, on the half volley from about 35 yards out that would have made it the third goal for Wrexham. One of those where... He couldn't have hit it any sweeter. Hit the juncture of the crossbar and the post, which I think even because obviously we're very placid and mild mannered. Even the Harrogate fans said, "Ooh." But Wrexham, I mean, they're travelling great number, great voice. Yeah. They had a lot to work with Harrogate Town in the second half, given how good they were. So a big shout out to the Sulphurites. That's us up here in Harrogate, the Sulphurites. And it was nice to have Wrexham in town.
And it's incredible that Simon Weaver, I mean, the longevity that he's got, because he answered It was an advert, wasn't it, in the non-league paper that he actually saw to become manager of Harrogate. He had a budget of £1,600 for his wage, his assistant, and his squad when he first took over. Unbelievable.
And what he's done, I mean, it's as obviously there's a very kind of a very unique, quaint side to what this lovely town is that I now call home. But given where they've come from and to be an established League Two side, the change in the pitch, they had to get rid of their 4G pitch to put some proper grass. Everything that they've done is wonderful. They do a mean steak pie as well, which is something that you should always keep an eye out for.
Sold on me.
In Harrogate. Elsewhere, not too far from us, Bradford City. We covered their game the other week against Notts County, where they were awful in the first half. They were better in the second.
Yeah.
I was parked up at... They train at a school in Bradford. Bradford City do, ironically. Parked up as my son had trotted off to go to training. Then suddenly he, in the pitch black and the fog, walked out. I thought, that looks like Graham Alexander. And then I thought, I think I'm sat in his car parking space. I better get out and say hello to Graham Alexander. And knowing him, Gresset, how are you doing? And and obviously, that you know, that weird kind of discombobulation of, I know you, but why are you here? Why are you in my place of work?
Is he saying that to you, or are you saying that to him?
Yes, definitely. I was too busy trying to hug him. We looked at that first game.
Yeah.
We wondered what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And he's done something that's got them back to winning ways, Gary, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, he changed at half-time to a back three, didn't he, at Notts County? Mm. I mean, Notts County were brilliant in that first half as well. Four up. Bradford just couldn't lay a glove on them, really. They had a couple of moments. But anyway, he changed it. And then they were aggressive in the second half, scored two. Could have actually got something out of that game in the end, Bradford. And the thing with Graham Alexander is he wants to play at least two strikers. He always has wherever he's gone. He felt the big problem at Bradford was a lack of goals. They had to take the burden off Andy Cook. Mm-hmm. And Graham, you know, Ryan Sparks, the chief executive, said to me before that Notts County game that they kept an eye on Graham from afar. When he went to MK, where, you know, it was a strange one at MK, manager of the month,
strange.
August, out the door by October. Odd. But yeah, he's always been a bit unlucky, I think, when he's lost jobs. I mean, Gary Neville will say to you, he still regrets getting rid of him at Salford.
Yeah.
Look what's happened to Scunthorpe since he left. You know, Motherwell, he took them into Europe and they played Sligo the following season, lost, and he lost his job. So he's always been a bit unlucky, and then what happened to MK. But it could be a good fit, that, at Bradford City, and you know, he's found a way to unlock their goals.
Well, I mean, will he be able to unlock even more goals come January, you think?
Well, Jake Young, who's at Swindon. I mean,
can't miss.
The reason he was sent out was because then Bradford manager Mark Hughes, he wasn't going to play him. He wasn't, for whatever reason, he wasn't going to play him. He didn't fit in to what Mark Hughes was trying to do. So Bradford thought, well, hang on, instead of having him here, we're paying his wages, just kicking his heels, we'll send him out on loan. So if you think about it from Bradford's point of view now, he's increased his valuation if someone comes in January. He's in form. Had he not been sent out on loan, none of this would have happened. But yeah, there's a recall in January. So Bradford can recall him in January. And I would not be surprised if that happens.
Yes. Keep a keen eye on that. Stockport at the top. Wrexham second. Barrow, unbelievable work being done by Pete Wilder in third. Mansfield Town lost for the first time this season. Fourth, they sit. Crewe, Notts County, Gillingham and free-scoring Swindon sitting in eighth. Right, that's it for the first part of the official EFL podcast. Gary Weaver's off to go and take a break. Now we're going to hear from Richie Wellens, who takes on the monumental 72 in 72.
Hi, I'm Richie Wellens, and this is 72 in 72. Plymouth, Exeter, Bristol Rovers, Bristol City, Swindon, Reading, Leyton Orient, Charlton, Watford, Norwich, Ipswich, Birmingham, West Brom, Derby, Stoke, Wigan, Blackpool, Fleetwood, Morecambe, Carlisle, Middlesbrough, Newcastle. Oh, not Newcastle. Oh, there's another one up there. What are they called? Sunderland. As you come down that side, Lincoln, Donny, Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United. They've gone up to the Prem. Got to be some North West ones. MK Dons, Northampton, Stevenage. I said Watford. Sutton. Crawley. Southampton. I said Leyton Orient, haven't I? I better say that. Salford.
When red goes, time. Red goes, doesn't it?
Well then, a barnstormer there from Richie Wellens, almost threatening the top spot. And who is at the top? It's Matt Smith. He's on 38. Richie scored 33. John Coleman third with 26 behind him. Mark Albrighton, Joe Bryan, Liam Rossignol, Andrew Moran, Valerian Ishmael, Alfie May, Gary Rowett, Stuart Dallas, Reuben Colwell. And at the bottom is Aaron Ramsey. He's, of course, at Cardiff City, but they're nowhere near the bottom. They're currently ninth in the Championship, thanks to boss Errol Bullott leading them there. Errol, thank you so much for joining us here on the official EFL podcast. Yeah. Cardiff City in ninth. What have you made of South Wales so far?
I think we could make it a little bit better when we would be a little bit lucky. So we had many games where we could win the game, but at the end we lost points. From these games, we can learn. So when we are leading the game, so to not concede goals, to lose points, and we lost a few games like that. Okay, I don't want to mention about the referees, because you know when you speak about the referees, it's always a problem. But I had also a few games because of the referee, so this is clear. So, but okay, let's not talk about the referees.
Well put, diplomatically put, Errol. I really do appreciate that. I mean, just give us a sense of how big a football club Cardiff City is, because I think, given its stature in Wales, given its stature in Welsh football and in the Football League, and of course being in the Premier League, it's a big club, isn't it?
Well, before when I came here, or I was in discussions to sign for the club, of course I was researching and looking where the city is, the club, and like that. Well, is the capital of Wales, and the history is quite big enough, I think, and play many years in the Championship. Promoted, I think three times promoted to the to the Premier League. So with great players in the club, like how we said, Aaron Ramsey and a few others. So, but my opinion, a club like Cardiff, so belongs really to the Premier League. So, of course, when we see also the last 2 years, what issues, what problems the club had. So it was not nice for the fans, for the club, and for the players here. It was not easy to come to sign for Cardiff City, to say, this team now, we're going to make a difference. Of course, for me, it was also a new challenge.
Yeah.
Also a risk, when you say it like that. Mm-hmm. But I like to go risky way a little bit.
So take a chance. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. But also when you came in, the economical things, also these problems we had. So we had many issues that time. But at the end, I accepted, and I'm really happy that I'm here. Great city. Great fans, great people, what I met till now.
What do you mean, till this podcast?
also. included.
Errol, one of the first major victories you had was against Swansea in the South Wales Derby. And I know I was very lucky to speak to you on the phone the night before. And I said to you, what have the fans said to you about this game against Swansea? And you were telling me that one fan even stopped his car in the street because he saw you and came running towards you and said, you have to win this game. I mean, the passion of the fans, especially with that derby, is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. It was great. We've been for dinner with my coaching staff.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, 10 o'clock at night. So we went, we was walking to the cars, and usually somebody jump out of the car. So came to me. It's a Gaffer. So tomorrow we have to win this game. This is everything for us. 10 years we couldn't win, and like this. I say, one thing I can tell you, I know about derbies very well because I played many and I was also leading as a manager some big derbies. Mm. So don't worry, I said, be relaxed. You will support us on the tribune in the stadium. So we will make our job on the field. So that day was everything perfect.
Yeah.
What have you made of the championship so far? The teams that you've seen, Errol, and more broadly, culture over here, Welsh culture, English culture, the fans, the whole kind of match day environment?
Yeah, of course, the league is much, much different than what I had now in Turkish Super League. So you have many teams, many qualitative good teams. When you see the last 3 years, which teams are relegated and still they have quality in their team, and also teams they invest really well. What we couldn't, because we had the punishment, we could take only free transfers. Mm-hmm. So we tried to get the best players, but it's not easy. It was not easy, but I think till now, what we show and what we made, we did a good job with my players.
Errol, you seem to have re-energized the club, you know, the players, the fans, the owner as well. Vincent Tan seems re-energized. I mean, we know Vincent has his own unique way of wanting to see the game and how football is played. But what's your relationship been like with Vincent, and how strong a personality do you have to manage Cardiff City?
Well, I spoke with Vincent a few times. So his character, he wants to win also. So he's a big businessman. Of course, he wants to win. He was winning always with deeds, with business. And so he sees this also as business. This is normal. So that he wants a lot of victories. But I'm not different. So I hate to lose. I hate to lose. I want to win games. So at least when you lose, you have to fight till the end to not lose. Even lose, you have with fight, you have to lose that game, that you have to show you want and you try everything. And so till now looks everything well. But of course, Winston is also, he have a different opinion about football a little bit.
He does.
So, how I said, we spoke a few times. It was a good conversation. And of course, I try also to explain him how football really goes. Okay, the managers before me, they did the same, I'm sure. So, but when he explained it in a realistic way, so I think he should understand this. So football is not only that you have 70% ball possession, you are shooting 30 times on the goal, but you lose the game for 1-0. And this is this is football.
Yeah.
So you understand. So it's not always you keep the ball or you are creating a lot of chances. You have to win the game. Sometimes it's absolutely not like that.
It's if you listen to this podcast, the great thing is myself and Gary are sat with Errol, and he was wonderfully patient setting up his phone, his end, to get us on to be able to chat. And I've just got a semblance here. I don't know whether you have, Gary, but a manager is very busy. Errol, I mean, you're getting messages, you're getting emails, you're getting everything. we speak to so many managers on here, and you talk about managing in Turkey and now managing over here. Is it an understatement to say it's a very, very, very busy job, because people constantly come to you for answers, don't they? Whether it's players, whether it's owners, whether it's the media, whether it's people asking you to come on podcast, your time is at a premium and it is so precious, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. But so in the Turkish Super League, I didn't have it maybe so much. I had a little bit more time because we didn't have games every 3 days. So game by game,
Yeah.
So even sometimes I cannot train for myself in the gym. I don't have time for that. So
you're that big.
This is
a good excuse, though. It's a good excuse to not go in the gym.
I have to take care about my shape. So
me too.
But it's such a good point, though, Errol, isn't it? I mean, and you strike me as a manager that, I mean, you set that example to your players. I've always thought that when it's come to management, if you're being told. If someone's screaming at you on the side of the pitch who looks like they couldn't do it themselves, part of you as a player is kind of looking over thinking, hang on. But if you're in the kind of shape that you're in, you're setting the example. You want your players to be dynamic, energetic, and the manager's got to set that culture. Is that something that you take pride in managing your teams and clubs?
Yeah, but I think I stopped to play... when I was 37, so 20 years professional, I played. So after I had 5 years as assistant, and then I became a manager. But I'm always in the opinion, the manager on the line should show a little bit character. Mm-hmm. And not only this, also how he looks on the line. So... So that's why we have to take care also about our body. So sometimes in training sessions, I'm involved mostly 5 against 2. I'm playing.
you're part of the 5, definitely.
Yeah, to not make many distance. I like to be sometimes in also when we have running sessions. So that I have some runs. So. To show the player, so even with 48, I won. So I'm in. So the players have to be always like their job. Of course, if I could play, I would continue to play. But one day we have to stop, and I stop, and also the players they see the coach still with 48. So he's. he's willing to play, but one day it will be finished. So they have to take these years very carefully and to give everything. They have only maybe 15 years to play. In these 15 years, they have to make everything well and play on the highest level and push for the maximum. Because afterwards, you cannot sit and say, why I didn't make this game like this, why I didn't play like this. So no excuses anymore, then it's over.
I tell you what, I'm going to the gym this afternoon, Errol. You forced me to go to the gym for the first time in years. Errol, I was going to ask you about Aaron Ramsey. I know obviously he's been injured, but you know, you've managed Fenerbahce, you've managed big players. Aaron Ramsey, back at Cardiff City, as you know, is a huge coup for Cardiff City. What's his influence like in terms of off the pitch as well, and his, you know, his presence of being there and around the club?
It's very important. First of all, I want to speak about his character. Great character. So he don't have the ego to say, I play in Arsenal, I play in Juventus, and show to his teammates, look, I'm. He don't have this perfect character. So this is the first for me, for my players. I want this character is before the quality of the football player. So quality you can have, but when the character is not correct, so this can destroy the team. So first of all, I'm watching the character of the player, of course, then the quality, but not first the quality and. After I meet the player, so the character is nothing. So for what I need that kind of player, this one player can destroy the team. So this we don't need. And God thanks, I have good characters in the team. And of course, Ramsey, when he's on the field against the opponents, they are respecting him also too much. So it's different to play against a big star. Like Ramsey, so this makes also the change of the game sometimes with the opponent against him.
Gary, I know you spent a lot of time down in South Wales in Cardiff.
I mean, I have.
Have you got any recommendations to Errol for places to go?
I've got a lot of recommendations. I think Errol was in the Queen's Vault pub, I think, was when you met a few Cardiff City fans, Errol. But, I mean, one thing I'd say quickly about Cardiff City is, and it surprises managers, the new managers, the level of scrutiny in the media on the capital city club from Wales. It's like a Manchester United, and it can surprise managers sometimes. But Errol's obviously managed Fenerbahce, so he's used to all that media scrutiny and that pressure.
Yeah. Of course, when you lead a club like Fenerbahce, so you can imagine how the media is one of the biggest clubs in Turkey, so with a lot of the victories, winning of championship. So I was as the player there. I won the title, and I've been as a coach there. So the pressure with those big clubs are much, much different.
Yeah,
you get from everywhere some shots. So you have to be good organized for that. Okay, but this is football. So. If you don't want to lead a big club, so you shouldn't go, then you have to stay in a smaller club. But I don't have any problem with that.
Well, I mean, that real sense of kind of composure does really come across, Errol. You mentioned managing in Turkey. You mentioned, obviously, that vast and very, very kind of highly respected playing career. And you talked about the championship. And we love it in English football because, obviously, not playing it anymore, that we can watch two games a week and there's always another game every 2 days, every 3 days. You get into Christmas, there's one every other day, it feels like. Yeah. And has that been the, even though we've had, what, three or four international breaks, has that been the kind of biggest difference that you say? Because you talk about time for yourself to train, but time to get on the pitch with the players to get your ideas across, because the games come thick and fast. You played in the week, you've got Southampton at the weekend, there's travel involved in that. It's relentless, isn't it?
Yeah, the good thing is, or maybe the bad thing, I don't know, because you have a game, you win or you lose, you don't have time to analyze your game. So the previous game, so to show to the players, so this weekend we could make it better, this we could make like that, because it's a regeneration, adaptation, and then the 3 days later is the game. So like... Now starting this 1 month will be really busy, but okay, we try to give how much as possible to the players, even when it's a short time, with individual videos and like that. Mm-hmm. So of course, I don't like how I said to lose games. When I lose game, I'm thinking too much, but I have to learn to not think. So to think about the next game, not.
Yeah,
what happened with the last game. So this have to change and I have to adapt on this. Mm-hmm.
So three points off the top six, is that where Cardiff's aims are this season? Is that where your aims are as a manager in the championship, the playoffs come the end of the year?
I think this, what is going right now in the table, this up and down, this will continue till end of the season like that, my opinion.
Yeah.
Because many clubs, good clubs, are involved in that, who wants to be in the playoffs, and qualitative good teams. But we want to be close to that to the playoffs, not far away, close. That I hope in January we can make something on the transfer market that we can push more for the playoffs.
It's one of those, a striker, Errol. Kiefer Moore's being mentioned. We won't mention Kiefer Moore, but Kiefer Moore's being mentioned. You're hopeful.
For Kiefer Moore, we was trying already in summer, but it was not possible because they tried to sell him, or they wanted to sell him his club. And because of our penalty, we couldn't make anything, and okay, we have to see also the financial aspect on the other side from Cardiff City. So I hope also the board members they see how hard we was really doing till now, and they are satisfied, my opinion, and that's why I hope in January they're gonna invest a little bit more, that I can get 3-4 more players, qualitative, that we can push, yeah, push for more.
Well, tell you what, Errol, this has been an absolute pleasure. Really do appreciate you taking the time, getting on board with our technical requests and getting your app downloaded. But it's fascinating to hear, and I'm always very intrigued to see this football that we love in this country, how it is appreciated, how it's kind of dealt with from someone who's been so very successful somewhere else. And you seem like you're really enjoying it. It's just a lovely, lovely thing to see.
Yeah, I'm enjoying, of course, when I see also that all the stadium when we play at home, the fans are behind the team, behind us. So this is very important. So when players feel supporters are behind us, and so the players will push for more. So because previous 2 years, of course, with the performance of the players was, I think, not good enough. The fans was a little bit against them, so the atmosphere also was not clean, and nobody was happy. So then the performance of the players is dropping down. But right now, I think fans, football players, the manager, I think we are right now like this, and I hope this will go till end of the season, and I hope that we can get this target where we are focusing.
Wonderful, Zane. I'm sure all the Cardiff City fans will be thrilled to hear their boss talk in that type of manner. Errol, thank you so much for joining us on the official EFL podcast.
Thank you too.
Thank you, Errol. Good luck.
Thanks. Take care.
So it's a huge thank you to the charismatic Errol Bullitt, the ever-charming Gary Weaver, and the ultra-competitive Richie Wellings. As always, if you've enjoyed, then please do give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. My name's David Prutton, and I'll see you same time next week for another episode of the official EFL podcast.